How is partnership for you? Like a lot of people believe that partnerships are great, as I do. And a lot of people are just terrified of them because they've heard horror stories of how challenging they can be.
For me, it's worked out. And it's funny, like I've personally invested in other companies that partnerships have just been an absolute nightmare. Mm-hmm. But there's that one quote that says, you know, you can go fast by yourself, but you can go far with somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I've realized is because I know my skill set when it comes to sales and building businesses and networking and kind of going down that route. But when it comes down to it, it's like you have to partner with something that you're not strong in. And if you do that correctly, you have a much better chance, in my opinion, at scaling any company.
You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. This is your seat at the table. Thanks for listening in today. This is Darren Clark, the producer of the show, and we want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving if you're listening right now, and be sure to drive safe if you're on the road. So today, Roland talks with Rohan Seth, who has grown a couple of companies, one multi-network agency, GrowRev, as well as a software company, Direct Heroes. On the show, Roland gets Rohan to share tidbits and tips for companies and influencers who are trying to manage and grow their following, what he's found to help with partnerships and hiring, and he even drops a super cool travel hack for when you have to fly economy. So let's get started, and as always, we invite you to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. Now, without further ado...
Hey everybody, it's Roland Frazier at Business Lunch, wanting to welcome you to the show and welcome our guest today, Rohan Seth. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Roland, for having me.
So you've got a couple of cool companies that you have built. One is GrowRev, not GrevRo, GrowRev.com, and that's an agency,
yes,
right? And then the cool thing about that, as I recall, is that it's a multi-network agency. Yeah. So you're like on all the different native networks and things like
everything.
That. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And then the Direct Heroes software is, would you say it's basically like a chatbot CRM for Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you give a better and more detailed description about those businesses than
absolutely.
We just did?
So GrowRev was one of my first online businesses outside of the affiliate world that I got into. Built the agency by myself till 2015 and then brought Matt, who's my business partner, on board. And we kind of initially started with just Google and Facebook, which everybody was wanting to do. And Facebook was in its heyday. And it got to a point where we started to realize that a lot of our clients that we were scaling in ad spend wanted to go multi-network. And I was mm-hmm. like, that is a problem that the market needs to fix. And then we just, like, Matt was like, let's just go multi-networks.
Now, so for people that don't know what multi-network means.
So multi-network is not only just running on like two of the biggest, obviously Facebook and Google, which everybody's running on. And now we're doing native. So Outbrain, Taboola, Rev Content, Yahoo Gemini, those are just a few to name. Snapchat, Pinterest, if you're doing any adult offers, some things like Traffic Junkie. So those are just a few different networks that we're running on right now. So it's like not just taking you on one and scaling you, but it's taking you across multiple networks and then scaling you from there.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So that is the agency.
That's the agency.
Direct Heroes
is, if you really think about it, it's just a chatbot for Instagram, but it's turning into more of a CRM for Instagram where, you know, once we attach your account, not only can we help communicate with your following and not help actually help, you know, build flows and campaigns through that, but we can also tell your engagement rate and multiple different things that can actually help your Instagram account. Because Instagram was one of those networks or social media platforms the longest time that most people didn't really know how to monetize, which we kind of saw from a different angle because influencers were nailing it, but the regular business person couldn't figure it out. So we kind of put the two together and came up with the idea of building Direct Heroes.
Nice. So where did all of this start?
So my background actually comes from a very, very young age, being grown up in a very entrepreneurial family. So I grew up in India till I was 11.
Okay.
My dad and my uncle had a company together, one of the top three travel companies in all of India that had offices all around the world.
Wow.
Yeah. At one point, my dad and uncle actually owned an airline in India, which got bought out. And then they ended up having a bit of a family feud and going their separate ways, it typically sometimes happens.
Right.
And my mom and dad decided to leave India and come to Canada. And so I was 11 years old, come to Canada. And
when was this?
2001. So it's like most people have like the rags to riches story. My story came from like riches to rags to riches, like kind
that's
of story.
Kinda, I like that. That's an interesting story.
Yeah, because I grew up and like my mom tells me all the time, so like, the first time you were on a plane was 2 weeks old and you were flying business class. Like, you know, yeah. So I'm like, by the age of 11, I'd already been like all over Europe. I was traveling between Dubai every other weekend because I had family that lived in Dubai back in the day.
Wow.
All over Asia. So I kind of seen like one world of this lifestyle where it was just like, okay, this is cool. And then we came to Canada and I had gone 11 years turning 12 and I'd never seen my mom work a day in her life. And she had to go back to work and kind of all that whole world of things. My dad had to go get a job. Like the split was so bad from their business end of things. So that kind of lit like a subconscious fire inside of me. Where by the time I was 14, 15, I was in high school. And that was when my first entrepreneur journey really started. Because it was like, okay, what can I do so that I can make money that I'm not dependent on my parents? And I bought, I'm not sure if you know, but like the little, they're called pocket bikes. They're like little crotch rocket bikes. I bought one just as a hobby. And that hobby turned into a business that I made over $150,000 at the age of 15.
What was the business?
It was me just importing pocket bikes from China and selling them to people at school.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I did that at the age of 15. And then once I kind of did that, I did a bunch of...
So you made 150 grand while you were 15 on pocket bikes?
Selling pocket bikes.
Pretty fun.
And my way of driving traffic was almost getting expelled from school because I'd literally take the pocket bike to school and rip around in the parking lot, create a bunch of attention, marketing 101, create attention.
And fold it all up.
Yeah, nice. Literally, and almost got expelled from school. But it got to a point where my mom's like, I don't care if you get expelled from school. You just keep doing what you're doing. You're clearly making like, enough money.
I'll go to other schools. Yeah, can't expel me from there.
Yeah, so I did that. And then fast forward, did a bunch of like door-to-door things, like not like selling just random stuff door to door, but never really built a career out of it. And then I went to school to be a commercial airline pilot because obviously traveling the world when you're a young kid, like one of the things that I've always wanted to do was travel more and get paid to do it.
Nice.
And 3/4 of the way through, I decided to drop out because I got offered a job in the middle of nowhere, Canada, freezing cold, and the cold and me don't get along together. Mm-hmm. And I kind of got into realizing, okay, like I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to have my own lifestyle, but I knew sales and like what I'd done from like that initial entrepreneur journey was actually crazy. So I was like, what can I do next? And I went on Google. This is before like SEO was anything crazy as what it was today. And I came across an article and it was like the top three things that you could do to make more money. And the first one was drug dealing. Never going to happen. Right. Being a hooker. Never going to happen. Right. Third one was sales. I'm like, I wish I could find that
Don't
article.
Don't give up on that second one. Yeah. What was the third one? Direct sales?
I'm just doing direct sales. Yeah. So then I applied. I literally went on Craigslist, applied for every single job possible in the sales world, and then stumbled upon a door-to-door sales job that I got an opportunity to do, which I didn't even know what door-to-door sales was like as a career. I ended up building two massive organizations by the age of 20 in sales, and then from there did in-home high-ticket sales because I got poached and did in-home high-ticket sales. And at the time I was doing that, I was selling like $6,000 to $13,000 packages in-home or across a table to a family on a software for their children within 90 minutes.
Okay.
So like direct sales became my like go-to.
Okay.
But I kind of got bored because it was one of those situations where I was like, okay, how do I, like I got bored of selling because I mastered the art of one-to-one selling, but I'm like, what's next? And that's when I started to search and like kind of figure out, okay, online marketing and digital marketing was starting to come up and I came across like some of the initial stuff in the digital marketer world and got into that, did affiliate marketing. I knew I liked doing traffic. I really, really got really, really good at doing traffic. And that's when I kind of eventually, fast forward this whole story, got into building the agency by myself in 2014 is when I started to run traffic by myself and then eventually partnered with Matt.
Nice. Yeah. And any failures along the way? Anything
Tons.
That,
yeah? Tons.
What happened that was, that you think was a good lesson learner failure-wise?
One of the things when you get good at something, people try to give you multiple opportunities and you kind of like, it becomes ADD and like, you know, the ADD syndrome of what can I take next? So when I was doing door-to-door sales, I got offered multiple different opportunities and I got doing an opportunity for, funny enough, selling meat for a company, like one of the large meat selling companies. Okay.
Like an Omaha Steaks-ish kind of thing?
Kind of, yeah, like okay. That. And the offer seemed so good that I was like, I just literally overnight quit and went worked there and I didn't do enough due diligence on it, but I went from like a six-figure income to nothing the next day. And like that was the hardest failures of my life. But I knew to myself that like subconsciously I was like, I'm never going to give up on the fact that I'm just going to learn and keep learning.
Sure.
And it ended up in a situation where it's like, yeah, that failure taught me a lot of lessons. Because before, like I was doing door to door. So I was creating my own traffic, selling my own stuff. But this was so different because I'm going from like selling consumers to selling like pretty much like small businesses, which was that. And it was like completely different sales. So I learned that technique, absolutely hated it. Made no money doing it, but I learned it, took it as a learning lesson, and then went back and did direct sales into the software world. And then when it comes to like failures, like when I first did like perfect example. When I launched the agency, like kind of going on my own, the funny story that I always brings me back to it is like I knew door-to-door sales. I'm like, what's the quickest way for me to get clients? Let's go business to business, door knocking and get clients. Mm-hmm. And I went and got a spa as a client and I signed this contract. And back in the day, I was charging like $500 a month to do done for you work. And I did the work. And then 3 months later, he tried to charge back my credit card. And I'm like, dude, I did everything like we agreed upon.
Right.
And it was one of those situations where it was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, is this even meant for me to do? But it's like, it's a perseverance in that, in those like failures and people trying to do things that didn't really make sense and not giving up really.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the agency a little bit. So yeah. Multi-network traffic. Most people that I know right now are using, a lot of people are using Facebook exclusively. And we've got some people that are going back to Google and some people are still using search and display with Google. But you decided to kind of make your specialty off those two things. Yeah. You do those two things too.
Yeah, well, yeah,
tons but, of it. But you do all the others. Tell us a little bit about kind of advantages, disadvantages. What are the options outside of Google and Facebook and what's good or bad or indifferent about them?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things we noticed, obviously, with last year with Facebook's whole compliance issues and stuff that they went through, we noticed that, you know, everybody had their eggs in one basket. And it was really, really good. We were having a conversation this morning with someone and we're like, you know, it kind of ruined marketing to a certain way. The way I look at it is like I studied direct response and like the true advertorers like style of direct mail marketing. And Facebook just got good because like you put up a video or you put up a long form post and you just had conversions, right? But it got to a point where compliance came into issue last year. And we're like, okay, well, we already had clients that we were running on Snapchat. Like we took an app from 0 to 40,000 downloads in 90 days and no one even knew that we were doing that using 100% on Snapchat. And I'm like, well, I looked at Matt. I'm like, why don't we quit being the Facebook agency and start becoming the multi-network agency where we could take people that are running good amounts on Facebook, like $20,000-$30,000 a month, which is a decent amount for, you know, most businesses, and then take them to like the $250,000-$500 million a month spends and take them across multi-network. And once we started to do that and we kind of etched our space there, it literally took off because now clients come to us be like, hey, we're stuck on Facebook. We know we could scale it, but we want to look at everything else because they've already heard so many nightmares. Like a couple of weeks ago, we took over an account. The next day, Facebook had the crazy, you know, shutdown that they decided to have the very next day.
Yeah.
And that was like the best learning lesson. It's like, you know, my pitch to them was, let's take you multi. Don't be all on Facebook. We take over the account. The next day, Facebook goes down. I was like, my questions have been answered by Facebook. Thank you.
Give me a non-app case study example of how that transition off depending just on Facebook works.
We have a photography based info product client that we scaled. When we took him on, he was spending about $15,000 a month just on Facebook. And it's just an info product selling PDFs through photography. And today, probably spending about $250,000 average a month. And they're on Facebook, Google, Snapchat, Pinterest, native. I don't even know at this point. I'd have to look at exactly what, like, it all comes down to obviously what they're spending per month, but like, that's kind of where we are. And we started to notice that Facebook's a great place to be. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, we were, I'd say 80% Facebook at one point, and now we're probably like 60% Facebook, 40% other networks. Because Facebook's still great. I'm not saying that it's a bad network, but it's like, start diversifying because you never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. And you don't really have a business if it's only
on one network. Yeah.
So would you say that's kind of a good, I know it's going to depend, but is there a range of Facebook to other things that you think is kind of optimal for folks? Do you try to weight an average and say, you know, generally we like for people to be 60% on Facebook and 20% on Google. And
it really comes down to offers. You know, a lot of the times is like, and it's like one of the things is like, yeah, we're now become the multi-network agency, but a lot of times people are running on Facebook. So it's like when we take them on, we'll say, let's optimize your Facebook at the best cost per acquisition, whatever the KPI really meant to be. And then from there, once we get that best cost per acquisition, now we know, then we figure out what their blended CPA needs to be across the next couple networks, and then we scale them across those networks. And then we'll figure out what the best is, whether it's YouTube, whether it's search, whether it's, you know, Snapchat. Snapchat was really, really good last year for a lot of people. Now their policy's starting to tighten up a little bit. But the one thing that most people aren't paying attention to on Snapchat is if you can get on, the interest targeting that Facebook took away, Snapchat delivered.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
What? So when you say if you can get on, tell us about that. What does that mean?
With Snapchat policy, they can be a little bit of a nightmare. They obviously don't like certain offers. They do not like anything in the health space from what we've noticed recently. All of our health offers got smacked recently.
Okay.
And obviously MLM offers and things of that, like heavily biz op things, they don't want to do it. They love obviously affiliate offers and the mortgage space and things of that. Mm-hmm. But it's like all of that interest targeting. So if you can get around it or even use Snapchat as an audience building network, use Snapchat as an audience building network on the front end and then hit them for a conversion metric on the back end through Facebook and just target them there.
Is there any way to port, I'm assuming, and because I haven't advertised on Snapchat, but does Snapchat offer pixeling?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Is there any way to port the pixeling over to other platforms from one platform to another?
Well, you can use Snapchat's pixel to kind of go through and use and then retarget them on Facebook.
You can do that. Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Are there any tools that you especially like in the stuff that you do for the agency?
See, the one thing that obviously Matt, who runs all the back end of our company, one thing we've tried to like go across is stay away from tools and stay as native to the platform as possible, because the more native you stay to the platform, the more they're going to like it.
Yeah.
So outside of using Google and Google Data Studio and analytics and kind of tracking across that board, it's like we don't really dabble in the world of tools. Like none of, you know, like the Quaya's of the world or the Addis Russell's of the world. Like mm-hmm. I know the owner of Addis Russell personally, and I told him straight up, it's like, I'll never use your platform. Love you as a person, but it's like, we'd rather stay native. So it's like that way, if we ever run into an issue policy wise, they can look at it and say they're pretty black and white with us.
Massimo,
right. Yeah.
I like him. He's a cool guy. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool. And so what about for timing? Do you do organic stuff too, or is it all ad paid media based?
It's all paid media. 100% of it's paid media. We're starting to more delve into the world of organic from Instagram using Direct Heroes. However, when it comes to organic content, like it's being the best at what you're being the best at, and we're the best at doing paid networks. It's like our paid traffic. It's like, let's just stick there and let any other agency in. We refer tons of business to organic people all the time because it's just not our world of business.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about Direct Heroes, how this is a SaaS for helping folks do things with Instagram.
Yeah.
What are the applications of that? What does it actually do?
So the simplest way for someone to use it, like a perfect example would be like, if you understand just any Facebook automation chatbots on Facebook, you can't just go out and use your Facebook page and mass DM. Yes, can you create codes for it? Absolutely, everybody. And let's be real, we've all seen people that have done it.
Right.
But this is more of building a subscriber list within your Instagram direct messages. So ideally, for example, we just did a recent campaign for an e-commerce company in a clothing line, and they gave away a $1,000 gift certificate to the company, and pretty much the entire, like, the meta of the entire campaign came out to be, hey, we're giving this away, DM us X word. And then from there, it opens up an automation campaign inside their direct messages.
Okay.
And then from there, we just say, okay, if you want additional entries, go and follow the page or tag two people. Now that's creating organic virality. Mm-hmm. And from there, it ended up just the amount of reach that we got from it, just because other people are starting to tag it. Then we all obviously incentivize, go share this on your story. Because if they share it on their story, we're able to send off another message because they're already part of the DM world inside the subscriber list of Direct Heroes.
Nice. Now, had you created any kind of software before you did this?
No.
Yeah?
No.
So did you just decide you took like a one-day coding course and started creating
it? No, actually, funny enough, my business partner at that company, Jeff, him and I had been Instagram friends for a while, and he had done some pretty good work in the e-commerce space. And what ended up happening was built it for our internal purposes. Usually when you build software, you're usually building it for internal purposes. Mm-hmm. And he built it for an MLM company that he was trying to build at the time. And he shared it with me, and I'm like, dude, this thing's bigger than you think it is from a scalability standpoint. And what we ended up doing is, obviously ManyChat was there at the time for Facebook and Chatmatic and all the other ones that are around now, but no one was paying attention to Instagram. So it's like he ended up getting a really, really good development team out in Russia, where majority of the developers are for that company today. And what we ended up doing was we just kind of focus on building a really good product and not going mass market for it right off the bat, but going after the big influencers, which is a very different way, because we knew our biggest competitor would be the ManyChats of the world. And they do a phenomenal job on Facebook, but it's like if we cornered the high-end influencers, when they go mass market, we still have a big stake.
No
that
kidding.
For us, it came into an acquisition play,
because
we don't want to build a big software company. I want to just get bought out, like build a really good product and get bought out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the whole point behind what we did. And today it's like we're not the biggest chatbot software company by any means, but we have some of the biggest names on our chatbot because of what we've been able to do with Instagram.
What does it do for an influencer? Give me an example.
For an influencer, for example, one of the ones that we have is there was a gentleman that we were working with, and he had like three or four VAs full-time answering DM questions. And we just came in and created a campaign and let Direct Heroes take over and automate the entire campaign structure through the DMs. Because a lot of times when influencers have this, like their DMs will just blow up.
Yeah.
Like blow up, especially when you're in the couple million follower range. You're getting useless questions a lot of the times, or some inappropriate questions a lot of times. But some of them are pretty smart. So it's like we'd set up certain keywords that would set it off, and then we'd put them through a campaign. And then now what that ends up giving the influencer, especially if they have, let's say, an e-commerce product or whatever, they have a list that they can market to inside of Instagram. So it's like it's just like an email autoresponder. It's like, hey, we just launched this product. You guys are the first because you're following us on Instagram. Go ahead and get 10% off. And now you can just subscribe. You can literally broadcast it to the entire list there.
Is there a time limit like there is with ManyChat on Facebook? How long that you, like how recently they've responded or engaged or anything like that?
The thing is, because Facebook hasn't fully opened that API, and we've had a chat directly with Instagram about it. They're kind of gray hat with us as gray hat we are with the software. Mm-hmm. They know what we're doing. They've got their eye fully on us, but it's like they've not really given us any full time limits on certain things. Okay. But the one thing that out of all the testing that we've done is we know that we could send a maximum of 50,000 messages per day.
Okay.
So break that down to whatever.
That's pretty high. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty high, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Cool. And so you mentioned you didn't have any software experience and you partnered up with Jeff on that side. Jeff was a developer from before. Did this come about because he was just showing it to you and you said, hey, there's definitely some cool stuff.
And it was just the relationship that we'd already had prior to, and kind of, you know, he reached out to me on Instagram. Funny enough, it started, the whole business conversation started through Instagram DMs because I was building my Instagram following, and then he followed me on Instagram and reached out for some other product that he had and wanted some mentoring on the marketing space. And then I was like, dude, go do something else. Like, you have a good offer on the e-commerce side. And he ended up going and coming back with this. And it's like, it's funny to look at, we have an Instagram software and our entire business relationship and relationship overall started in the Instagram DMs.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Now, if you later find that he had automated that and he does that with like 6,000 people, then
it would have been pretty different. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Okay. So you've got two partnerships, one in each of the businesses right now. How is partnership for you? Like a lot of people believe that partnerships are great, as I do. And a lot of people are just terrified of them because they've heard horror stories of how challenging they can be.
For me, it's worked out. And it's funny, like I've personally invested in other companies that partnerships have just been an absolute nightmare. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing you realize is you're not going to hit that home run every single time. And that's one thing I've realized with partnerships. But I've realized, you know, there's that one quote that says, you know, you can go fast by yourself, but you can go far with somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I've realized is because I know my skill set when it comes to sales and building businesses and networking and kind of going down that route. But when it comes to partnering, like, and then you partner with someone like, let's say Matt, for example, mm-hmm. he would rather just sit behind 8 screens all day and buy media. Like that's literally what that's his skill set. He would not want to be here in Laguna ideally if he didn't have to, mm-hmm. unless me dragging him out. But when it comes down to it, it's like you have to partner with something that you're not strong in. And if you do that correctly, you have a much better chance, in my opinion, at scaling any company.
I like that. Sarah Blakely says, hire your weaknesses. And exactly. I think hire them, partner them away, contract them away, but definitely don't be doing
it by yourself.
Right?
And when I first started the agency, I was doing everything. I was like, I was sales, I was funnel building, I was media buying, and I was client communicating, all of it at the same time. And I'm like, I will never do that again. ever do that again.
That's funny. So what's the best way, do you think, for somebody, just the average business, let's say, to use Direct Heroes or to use Instagram? Let's start with Instagram and then talk about Direct
The biggest Heroes. Thing with Instagram that I'd say is, you know, just be more consistent with content. A lot of the times people have highs and lows and infatuations with, you know, being on Instagram as a network, and then someone will wake up tomorrow and be like, I'm going to be the next Instagram influencer. Well, yeah, you can be, but it's like, let's be consistent with content and just be more real with content. And people are getting more and more to a point where they're starting to realize that the content on Instagram, you know, like the whole Lamborghinis and that whole world of things is starting to kind of go back to people want a real feel.
Yeah.
And as long as you're willing to share that part of your life and like actually be real with them, the more your engagement's going to go up. Now, once your engagement starts to go up on the back end, you plug in a tool like Direct Heroes and get people to, let's say, you know, hey, I'm going to give you my free mini course if you just DM me blank word. Mm-hmm. Now you're building a list inside of your DMs, and then you can actually communicate with them and tell them, you know, stories and kind of things that are going on. So they're following you on Instagram on the social end of things, but then you're also having a separate conversation on the same platform. And then from there, you're building, whether it's an email list, because you could zap into your email list and not only build your subscriber list on Direct Heroes, but then also communicate through them with email, going back to multi-touch and multi-network, which a lot of the times we have to do today because we live in such an ADD society that, you know, if you don't catch them on Instagram while they're scrolling quick enough, you may get them to the DMs or you may get them to the email, and kind of just use that as a starting platform before getting too technical and crazy with what you can do with bots today.
Okay. So you mentioned that it's really good to come in after you get a certain amount of engagement and use a tool like Direct Heroes. Yeah. Is there a number or a level at which it makes sense to start using the tool, or
no,
should you start using it right away?
Right at the beginning. Yeah. One of the things actually we're going to be doing is we're going to be putting together a full case study that I think I'm going to show in November on, you know, taking an account from completely zero followers to whatever we get it to between now and November, and like what the engagement we can get with it and what the DM subscribers and the sales and everything else. So people can look at it from a perspective. It's like, you don't have to have millions or thousands of subscribers. Mm-hmm. You can start completely zero and kind of build that up and tell that full story along the way.
Nice. So what do you see as the future? What comes next? What comes next with both of the things for you in the agency space and in the Instagram space with Direct Heroes?
So for me, like one of the things that we're doing right now, funny enough, is because I've had all these crazy life experiences and grown up and learned some insane stuff, mm-hmm. becoming very, very good and claiming our stake in the digital world and what we've been able to do software side, traffic side, conversion side is we ended up buying the domain recently called digitalexpert.com.
Nice.
And we're going to create an info side of the business, which is going to be me heavily running that one and just teaching people through experience. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of info products that I see out there that are kind of hogwash, to be completely honest with you. And I'm sure yeah. you see that a lot of times sure. too. But it's like a lot of what we're going to teach is what we are currently doing, not yeah. what we've done and it's kind of working. It's like what we are doing
yeah.
and then sharing that live. Like that's the next play for me. Obviously, from the software side, our goal is to sell that company as soon as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as, obviously, keep growing it at the scale that we are. And then as soon as Facebook and Instagram open the API to public, it's like, who's up for grabs? Let's have that negotiation. On the agency side of things, it's keep scaling that for us right now. Maybe do a couple acquisitions and roll up a couple different smaller agencies into play, because we've probably the most systemized agency, and you know, our clients say that to us all the time, so it's one of the good things that we can claim to be, and then eventually exit that as well. And a lot of it came from the intensive I first did with you last year, January, which nice. Completely didn't even was a different world that I didn't even see before that.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What about lives? Tell me about Instagram TV, IGTV, right?
Yeah.
And lives and things like that. How does that fit into anything that you're doing or anything you see that's working super well?
Instagram lives overall, like anything video-based, I love video.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we're shooting this live right now, is pretty epic, because you could take chunks of this and, you know, we could do, let's say, for example, if you're doing a specific giveaway with someone on that time, and you're just like, why you're watching this video, if you get to a certain point in the video, you could say, hey, if you go to, you know, the Business Lunch Podcast right now and DM me the word Business Lunch Podcast, hypothetically,
yeah.
I'm going to give you something for free.
Right.
And, but it's like now that builds engagement, because they've had to stay through a lot of the podcast.
Right.
So you're actually getting your true followers
yeah.
to come in and actually give away something to them for free.
Right.
So that video part of it, I enjoy a lot there. Instagram lives are probably one of the my favorite things to do. Like sometimes I literally come back from the gym at like 9 o'clock at night and just put live and just have a chat with my audience, because you know that's the best time for them to communicate with me. I've got nothing going on and now I'm building a one-on-one relationship, and it's more like, and they feel like they're actually having like being across the table from you, but it's over a screen. And then that also forces the engagement through your comments, through, you know, them liking your pictures or videos and everything else. It's just going back to thinking, okay, how can I, this piece of content that I'm going to post, how can it get me more LTV? Like, how mm-hmm. can I get more lifetime value out of my follower from it? And that's what most people aren't thinking. They're just thinking of how many likes can I get out of this versus what can I serve them today that, you know, we're all running a business. Well, how can I get more revenue out of this post, let's say 30, 60, 90 days from now?
Right.
And it all kind of flows together. Like, right. that's where I like the video side and the live side of things.
Are there any especially effective hacks or strategies that you find work really, really well on Instagram?
One of the really good hacks that I think, it's not really a hack, it's just making sure that you're running traffic. A lot of times people are looking at growing their Instagram accounts through organic methods, but most people are forgetting about that you can actually run paid traffic to grow your Instagram account. Obviously, your costs are going to be based on how good you're at buying media,
mm-hmm.
but you could literally run Facebook traffic or Instagram, you know, story ads to get people to come follow you. And if you just do that by incentivizing them to come follow you using tools like Direct Heroes, mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, not only are you growing your followership, not only are you growing that, but you're also getting them to come and actually engage with you right off the bat,
mm-hmm.
because Facebook or Instagram is one of the top things that they're looking at is how engaged are you in your direct messages. You do that, not only are they going to start like literally favoring you on the feed side of things because you're very, very highly active in your direct messages.
Okay. What? How many people do you have as employees in these companies combined?
On Direct Hero side, it's growing so fast, we can't keep up with the development side. Last I know, we had like 8 or 9 developers.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously that's including Jeff and I, myself. So that'd probably be 6 developers, 2 of us, so probably 8 people combined. And then on Grow Rev, we've got 13 right now.
Okay.
And continually growing.
How do you go about, and how do you guys, all three, go about identifying good talent and who to hire and who not? Is there any methodology to that?
Yeah, so Direct Heroes kind of, it's one of those situations where Jeff and as the company got really, really lucky from a developer standpoint. We've hired our initial developer through Upwork and ended up being the best developer you could have ever hired.
Nice,
the first
great.
Person we ever hired. And
nice.
Then since then, his network being in the development world has actually helped massively. On the opposite end, on GrowRev side, you know, Matt and I had, we initially was just me, then it was him. Then we brought somebody else on board and we scaled that to, you know, about $1 million a year in revenue. And then I was like, okay, we've got a hobby, but we want to build a business now. Right. So like, now you got like, let's build a true business. And the one thing that I realized there was you have to hire full stack. So it's like, and what I look at that is you have to hire someone. Okay, if that's from an operation standpoint, can they come in and close a deal? If I can't close a deal, can they come in and run some media? You know, if Matt's busy for whatever reason. So we ended up hiring full stack operations person. So it's like the glue that holds a business development side and the media buying side together. And then since then, every single person that comes in is like, yeah, you have your role, but you're also going to learn. Once you master that role, you're also going to learn other things. So if we run into a situation where someone is in the hospital for whatever reason, you can jump in and take over that. And that's kind of the way we've done it. And our company at GrowRev is we're very open, like across the board. So like every part of our company, one part knows exactly how to fit into another part. And they know, you know, if we've had an epic failure with the client or if we've had an epic win with the client, they know completely black and white. And we don't hide anything because we want our team to realize that they are part of not just their job, but they're part of more of a bigger vision and a bigger organization for what right. we're doing from a marketing perspective.
Right. How do you stay motivated and what do you read and consume to get better at what you do?
My biggest thing for staying motivated, one of the things is I love coming to obviously events like War Room and TNC and everything else. I've been a big fan of events all my life. When it comes to reading, I'm usually reading one book a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, one of the books I'm reading, you had mentioned it a couple of War Rooms ago, Never Split the Difference.
Yeah.
I just started that on the flight home. Yeah. Yesterday. And then another one of the things that I do pretty heavily is like not only in the marketing world of things, I do focus on like, you know, mastering all seven areas of life. And one of my big mentors that I work with personally, Dr. John DeMartini. And I've been doing a lot of work with him over the last 2 years to just kind of master that area of life because I got so addicted to the business world that it's like I neglected all the other areas. Side,
it's a lot of people, yeah. It's really easy because it will consume everything.
Everything,
right?
Yeah. And it got to a point where it's like, you know, personal relationships were affected, health was affected, everything was affected. Like, yeah, great, you have a good business, you're great financially taken care of, but like, what are you doing all of this for? And that's kind of what my motivation now has become is, okay, let's not, you know, don't just look at being the best business guy.
Be a full stack person.
Be a full stack person in all areas of your life. So it's like, I take, you know, every quarter, I usually take a weekend or a week away with my wife, just kind of make sure that she understands like, yeah, I like business is my number one value, but I don't want you to ever forget. Like we also have a relationship here and I want to kind of bring that forward. Going to the gym 4 days a week keeps me motivated and just kind of little things and just kind of building on that compounded effect of my life.
Is there a DeMartini publication or something that you recommend in particular? Like a book?
The book I'd probably recommend any business person to read or any entrepreneur wanting to get into it would be Values Factor. That's probably one of my favorite books of his, and then you can go very, very deep with his work.
Yeah. Any other books outside the normal Think and Grow Rich, How to Win Friends, kind of like the ones that everybody talks about that you've found to be particularly impactful?
Funny enough, when you say Think and Grow Rich, I was never actually a fan of Think and Grow Rich as a book. There was the last book that Napoleon ever wrote was called Grow Rich with Peace of Mind. Mm-hmm. I think that book is better than Think and Grow Rich and Laws of Success combined. Okay. Very difficult to get your hands on, but if you can get your hands on it, that's a really good book. Psycho-Cybernetic. It's called Grow Rich with Peace of Mind.
Grow Rich with Peace of Mind, yeah. Okay.
And then
Maxwell Maltz.
Psycho-Cybernetics. Maxwell Maltz is a really, really good book that I'm a big fan of. What else have I say? Breakthrough. Breakthrough Advertising from an advertising standpoint, but it's called Breakthrough by DeMartini. It's pretty much his entire DeMartini
method
that he talks about. Yeah. But from a written standpoint, and kind of just gets you to understand, you know, so a lot of times we get into business and we're highly infatuated and we're overly resentful. It's like your highs and lows. And it's like understanding how to balance that out. Okay. And that was one of the books that I read that made me realize, okay, I need to start focusing on this. Cause you know, I've read all of Tony Robbins and stuff like Awaken the Giant Within and all that good stuff. And it's like, everybody talks about building a peak lifestyle and kind of living at a peak, but it's like, we all have our highs and lows in no matter what area of life. But if you learn to balance that, you're going to be more productive. And that's kind of the reason why I think that's one of the books that made a very, very big difference. And then obviously I attended the Breakthrough Seminar and Breakthrough Experience with them.
How about videos, podcasts, other people that you follow, anything like that you find are particularly amazing?
Well, I'm the kind of person, like when I find someone that I really like, I just binge and go all the way through. And like for me, a year and a half ago, when I got into the DeMartini world of things, I literally I read Values Factor. I read the Breakthrough Experience. And then I was like, I literally called up their office and I said, send me everything, like literally everything.
That's great.
And I bought everything that they have. And I've just kind of been binging through that whole world of things. And I've been through pretty much majority of their seminars, working one-on-one with him now to a standpoint. So I'm like, that's kind of where I'm at because of, like, and he's really good because he's got a very heavy finance business background as well, but then it's also got kind of focusing on all other areas of life. And then when it comes to, for example, tail end of last year, I was in a whole world of Jay Abraham and, mm-hmm. and Dan Kennedy, and I just binged through everything I could read and watch of Jay Abrahams and Dan Kennedy's. It's just like, what kind of, like, and it's, I just, the way I look at it is like, even my brother asks me this all the time, and he runs our company. He's like, what should I watch? I'm like, what do you feel like watching? What right. do you feel like reading? It's like, right. read that. Or watch that, because if I tell you something that I'm reading or watching, you may not want to finish that book. You may pick it up and start reading it, but it's like, just kind of go through the feelings is the way I kind of look at it when I go in my, you know, personal development world of things.
Nice. Yeah. So you traveled quite a bit. You still travel a fair amount,
a lot.
Right? What kind of travel hacks? I'm a big travel hack lover. So tell me some of your favorite things that you've that make your travel life
better. For me,
better.
It's credit card stacking and points. I love doing that.
Yeah.
One of the ones I recently figured out actually was, so it's like a lot of people like, you know, we like traveling business and having a good time, but it's like a lot of the time people are like, well, I can't really afford a travel business. And I'm thinking, okay, how can you hack around traveling and but still having that experience? Mm-hmm. One of the ones that I figured out recently was flying economy. Mm-hmm. So if you book, let's say, for example, if I'm booking an economy flight, I'll book one itinerary by myself. And then what I'll end up doing, if it's a long haul flight and I'm only flying economy, is I'll book the two seats beside each other. So I'll book and pay for the seats and I'll book the two seats beside each other on another itinerary under my wife's name and my brother's name or my mom's name. Mm-hmm. And then I'll buy the insurance on that and I'll cancel it now before the flight. Now I have the whole row to myself.
Nice. I was going to ask about that because I think it seems to me like you ought to be able to buy them and just keep them and have it empty, but they won't do that.
No.
Because I've had actually had my wife not be able to make a flight.
And they end up reselling
I lose
it.
The ticket plus they sell it. It's like, that seems kind of crappy.
Yeah.
So you do it with canceling an hour before. You get the
like right before they start boarding the long haul flight. That's when you just get on and cancel. You eat the cost of the insurance for
cancel
those
fee
seats,
or whatever.
But or whatever it is. But you get the rest of the amount back, and you do that right when you got.
And they don't generally fill up.
No, because it's too late. Because the 2.5 hour mark on a long haul flight is when they can stop selling that ticket. So now you call and cancel. And
I like it. I like it. Nice. That's right. Okay. That's actually cool. That's a good hack.
Yeah.
I like that.
So now when you're flying on an economy seat, you put the
you
two things up
down,
and you lie down.
Good.
You've got yourself a long haul flight and you go to bed.
Nice.
Yeah.
What, any others?
Credit cards. That's just making sure, like, obviously being in the US, you guys have way better credit cards than we do in Canada and maximizing your point value for certain things. The one big thing is once you, that most people aren't even paying attention to a lot of times is once you get like status in a hotel or with the rental car company or an airline, a lot of other hotels and airlines will actually match it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, just call up the next hotel. If like, if you get status at the Marriott or whatever it is, call up the Fairmont and ask them if they'll match it. Because if you get
I've got status here. Will you give me the same status there automatically?
Right off the bat.
Sure. If you're going to come stay. Yeah.
Because they want your business and now they're going to, then that's an easy way for them to incentivize being able to be able to be there.
That's two really good ones. I like that. Cool. Yeah. Is there any gadget or anything like that that you found recently that you really like that makes your life easier in any way?
See, I'm so into the Mac world. Like I just like full tilt, like Mac fanboy through and through that it's like for me, gadgets don't really make a difference. I'm just like
how
iPhone,
about apps
iPad.
Or software then for iPhone, iPad.
So if Mac. One of the things actually I found recently, we were having this conversation with the team because our entire front end team is all Mac and then the entire media buying team is all Windows. And I've always tried to get them to get into the Mac world. It's never going to happen.
That's hilarious.
But you know, the touch bar on the new MacBooks, for the last little bit, it's been pointless, right? So it's like, I was like, well, there's got to be, someone's got to have created a software. I found a software called POC. If you type in POC MacBook touch bar, you'll see it'll be the first thing.
P-O-K?
P-O-C-K.
P-O-C-K.
Yeah, P-O-C-K. I think it's .it.
Okay.
But if you just start like
POC.it?
I'm pretty sure it's POC.it.
Okay.
But like I said, if you just type in like POC touch bar MacBook software, it comes up.
Okay.
And it pretty much takes over, you know, your bar on the MacBook and it turns it into your touch bar on your MacBook.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I like that a lot because then it gives you the full screen and you can get rid of your entire bottom bar on your MacBook.
I'm making notes on that one. I like that.
Yeah.
On the agency that you've got, what's the ideal customer? Like if somebody's watching / listening, what would the ideal place for them to be industry-wise and ad spend or whatever else? What are the qualifications that make them great where you can do the most good
for
them?
Yeah, so one of the things that we've kind of gotten to with the agency, and we've noticed this probably in this year, 2019, we've gotten heavily away from e-com and gone very, very focused on info and events.
Okay.
And then events, doesn't matter what events. Like we've got real estate, Amazon, personal development, dating events. Like we've run that whole space. And then the info side, it's like if you've got any sort of info business, whether you're going direct to an application phone call or you go into a webinar or even going for like a low ticket front end, like a $5 a month offer, that's kind of our ideal clientele. Now, a lot of the times is like, do we take on clients that have never kind of tested offers? Probably not, unless you're highly funded. But what we usually like is you've actually gone and run $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 worth of traffic, got some KPIs that you actually know can work for your business, then we'll take it over and scale that for you.
Okay, cool. Mm. And the best way to contact you for the agency is?
just growrev.com or add me on Facebook. I'm very, okay. very active on Facebook, because most people surprisingly aren't, but yeah.
R-O-H-A-N-S-E-T-H.
S-H-E-T-H.
S-H-T-H.
Yes, S-H-E-T-H. Yeah.
But it's pronounced Seth.
Seth,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And for Direct Heroes, best way to get a hold of that?
Just directheroes.com.
Directheroes.com. Yeah. And it's H-E-R...
O-E-S.
O-E-S, yeah. Not O-S.
Yeah. Okay. It's funny. Jeff and I were talking about buying that domain and just kind of forwarding it too, because everybody types it in.
That's cool. Cool. And then you're on social everywhere?
Yeah. Instagram is probably... I'm the most active on Instagram. When it comes to social, you'll see me behind the scenes talking. And I do a lot of stories. Like, I love stories on Instagram. So it's like I do a lot of behind the scenes sharing wins and, you know, cool tactics that we're running on traffic and stuff. So if you want to see that, like, my Instagram stories is where you'll find me.
Fantastic. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for making the time to be here. I really appreciate it. And I'm very happy that you had a chance to come in. And we're going to talk about, once we get done here, about some of the events you can help us with too.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And looking forward to having this live and sharing this.
Nice. Thanks. Yeah.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. If you're enjoying the show, let us know by subscribing and leaving a review. And for more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.